As we know, it's been a tense weekend for Irish UN troops on the Golan Heights in the buffer zone between Syria and Israel. Irish peacekeepers opened fire to help 38 Filipino soldiers to withdraw from their UN post where they'd been surrounded by rebel forces linked to Al-Qaeda, while efforts are ongoing to negotiate the freedom of 44 Fijian troops kidnapped at their post last Thursday. Dr. Tom Clonan is a former Irish Army officer. He's also a security analyst now. He's with me in studio. Tom, we'll talk in a few minutes about the Minister for Defence, Simon Coveney, clearly signalling he wants reassurances from the United Nations about the future mission or the future of this mission, particularly with a changeover due in the next month or so. But take us through what happened at the weekend.
Well, this all kicked off when anti-regime elements, these are jihadists, mujahideen, call them what you like, but they are Islamist in nature. They the dominant partner in the coalition in the Golan Heights is a group called Jawad al-Nusra, which is an affiliate of Al-Qaeda. So events kicked off when they took a border crossing, a strategically important border crossing called Kunitra. And in doing so, they killed at least 20 Syrian Arab National Army soldiers. And in the aftermath of that, they moved further into the area and began to consolidate their hold on the area. And in doing so, they took a Fijian UN position and abducted over 40 Fijian United Nations troops whose whereabouts remain unknown. And they also surrounded two Filipino positions, positions 6-8 and 6-9. One of those positions, the Filipinos managed to get themselves out of it during the hours of darkness. Basically, they withdrew from their position. They left their vehicles. They left on foot during the night, during a lull in the fighting, and managed to basically sneak away on foot. And they were navigated to another UN position. Their officers navigated them in that direction. And so they managed to get out intact with their personal weapons and some light equipment that they took with them. The other Fijian position, or the other Filipino position, and this is the significant part, they were rescued by the UN Reaction Force, which are the Irish troops. And so they went in armour, heavily armed, and came under fire. Minister Coveney confirmed that this morning. They came under fire. So basically they fought their way into that UN position, extracted them, and essentially fought their way out. And I think in terms of United Nations engagements, that's a significant one for the Irish. It's not the first time they have engaged fire with rebels in on the Golan Heights, but they ought to be credited with the saving of those Filipino soldiers, you know, from abduction or worse.
Do you know, Tom, what the level of security or protection by the rebels was at that particular post, given that the Irish sustained no casualties?
The rebels are believed to be armed with, you know, weapons that are normally organic to the infantry company. So they have assault rifles, they have machine guns mounted on vehicles. So they're quite well armed. There are also reports that they're firing mortars. And the Philippine position, which was relieved by the Irish, came under mortar fire during the attack. The Irish, in turn, are, you know, armed with the MOAG armoured personnel carriers. They have what are known as 0.5 machine guns or 12.7mm heavy machine guns on board. They have anti-armour weapons. They have the 84mm Carl Gustav anti-tank weapon. And they can be fired, you know, with anti-personnel rounds as well as anti-tank. They also have short-range anti-armour weapons. These are So both sides, I suppose at this point, both sides are relatively equally matched for that type of operation. And what the Irish will have done is they will have put down suppressing fire to keep the enemy down whilst they got in and extracted the Filipinos.
The Filipinos. So good news for those two separate groups of Filipino personnel. But the Fijians, what's known about them? They're still in captivity.
They're still in captivity. And questions, I mean, for me at this distance, you know, questions certainly arise as to the manner in which the Fijians were taken. All personnel from their basically a platoon plus position with their weapons. So it's hard for me to understand how they could be disarmed and for all of them, without exception, to be taken as hostages. And again, no injuries reported. So I think in the days and weeks to come, hopefully when these individuals are released, I think there needs to be a very rigorous investigation as to the circumstances in which they lost their position and lost their weapons and their liberty.
Is it possible they just literally surrendered or gave up without a fight?
I'm slow to comment on that, but it does raise very serious questions as to how they. I mean, the one thing that is drilled into you when you're in the Middle East, irrespective of whether it's peacekeeping or peace enforcement, you do not allow yourself to be forcibly disarmed. Unless the circumstances are extraordinary circumstances. But for 43 to all be, you know, disarmed at the same time, it just begs further study
Minister
and questions.
Simon Coveney, the Minister for Defence and Agriculture, was saying on Morning Ireland that there are two reviews, one going on the ground led by the Indian commanding officer, and also a broader review in New York at UN headquarters there. And part of that is how they want or should take this mission forward in Syria or in the Golan Heights. And he says that, you know, what went on in the last 3 days represents not an acceptable level of risk from his point of view. So that clearly raises a doubt as to whether Ireland is going to remain part of this mission. But he also, as other experts have said, acknowledges that if the Irish withdraw, this mission effectively collapses.
Yeah, I heard the minister this morning, and it's good to hear that now that there's an operational pause on the Golan, that they can reflect and reconsider the scope and nature of the overall mission. Significantly, from my perspective, the rebels, the anti-regime elements, still hold the checkpoint at Kenitra. And the minister mentioned a figure of over 300 fighters this morning. So they're in there in strength. So it's likely that there will be further exchanges. The mission itself is 40 years old this year. It started in 1974. And the UN Security Council resolution that mandates that mission is concerned with Israel and Assad's forces, who are still technically at war, and monitoring a zone of separation between the two. As far as I'm aware, the mandate does not give legal cover for engagements with this new third force, if you like, these Islamist rebels who are there in some strength. So this is a new development. It has, I suppose, the mission has been overtaken by events, not just locally, but regionally. And I think, you know, very serious questions would have to be raised as to whether or not the Irish and the other nationalities there are mandated to engage in basically what amounts to a civil war in Syria, when their original mission was to simply monitor the zone of separation between themselves and the Israelis. And I'll make two more points about that very briefly. The first one is that the British, the Americans, refer to these developments as mission creep. So the mission is changing and evolving over time, arising to circumstances beyond the United Nations control. The last thing I'd say is, if you look at the players on the ground, the Israelis, the Syrians, and these Islamist resistance fighters, they all have a record of either shooting at or killing Irish troops on the ground. 50% of our casualties in the past in that region have been inflicted by the Israelis and their militias, the other 50% by Islamist groups. And the Syrians also have a record of shooting Irish troops. They shot Commandant Thomas Wickham in 1967. So whoever sends the next batch of troops out to the Golan ought to be mindful that he's sending them into harm's way, and the situation has deteriorated. After this exchange of fire with Jabhat al-Nusra, the Irish will be, well, they have literally been in the sights of this group, but I know the feelings on the ground out there, the tradition, the culture, the way, the culture of blood, blood revenge and so on. The Irish will be subject to hostile scrutiny in the Golan area now.
What, finally, Tom, do you think is the objective of Jabhat al-Nusra, this affiliate of al-Qaeda, not part of the Islamic State? They're also obviously opposed to the Syrian regime. So what do they want with this space that they've moved into?
Their short-term objectives are to frustrate the ability of Damascus to exercise its remit on the ground. So that's their first immediate short-term objective, is to basically overthrow Bashar al-Assad. Their longer-term objectives would include, I suppose, by extension, being part of the caliphate that is de facto evolving in that area. But they would also have their sights on Israel. And they killed an Israeli teenager in June of this year, just a couple of weeks back. And that prompted a savage retaliation from the Israelis, which resulted in the deaths of Assad troops. And that's the danger for the Irish. If these mujahideen, if these groups consolidate and continue to hold their positions and then turn their attentions to Israel, Ireland is in the crossfire, but we're not mandated to be a part of that conflict. We're mandated to be part of a conflict which arose from the Six-Day War. So it needs to go back to the drawing board.
Tom Clonan, security analyst, thank you very much indeed for coming to studio. We'll be back with the tragic story of 14-year-old Benjamin Robinson after this break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.